just want to do today, this is from Moshe Shapiro, Zichrono Livracha. So they published a sefer for him on the Yanim of Emuna, the Yud Gimel Ikrim, and in this piece he ties together the Yud Gimel Ikrim together with Yetzias Mitzrayim. So a lot of it's based on Ramban, which is found in the Yesodei Torah. So I imagine Ramban's going to do that tomorrow in Shir. So I'm not going to go to Ramban inside. But the starting point is the Rambam. Now the Rambam is Kaveya in Pirush Mishnayos. The Rambam is Kaveya in Yad. There's a concept called Ikri Emuna. So Be'etzim, there's what to grapple with that. Mehechel Teis, there's something called Ikri Emuna. Interestingly enough, the Barbanel, who wrote a sefer Rosh Amona, which is written to answer a lot of the hasagas on the Rambam Shitas and Amuna, himself here at the end of it says, that's all my answers, but the bottom line is, I disagree with the Rambam, I disagree with the whole concept of Ikrim. Every part of the Torah is an Ikr. What's not an Ikr? And the Rambam himself says in the Ikr of the Amuna of the Torah that there's no part of the Torah which is not Min HaShemayim. So what Nafkamina is there in any part of the Torah? The kind of risk is you do with it, that he types up in the Kud of an Ikr as opposed to something which is not an acre, is so a person comes along and says that the Torah talks about some concept. The person says, you know, he's not familiar with that. He doesn't understand. He's not familiar with it. He never knew about it. He's a shogeg. Is he considered outside of the pale of Torah? No, he's shogeg. Right? So he doesn't have that amun. Okay, he's a shogeg. This is the point of the Rambam says that you're given Ikri Emuna is that a person comes along and says, I didn't realize the Kadosh Baruch Hu was one. I didn't realize it. I never knew. I'm shagging. Says, you're very nice, you're shagging, but you're still not Bikaris. And that Mechab Bikaris is also not Bikaris. That's what Chaim said. These things, if you don't have them in place, you're not part of Torah. Without these, the relationship that the Torah is representing with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and us doesn't exist. If you look at the Yud Gimel Ikrim, really, the Sefer Ikrim from the University of Albo, one of the Rishonim, argues on the Rambam, says that if you want to divide it into Ikrim, there only are three Ikrim. The Metzias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is understood the fact that he exists, and he's an Echod, he doesn't have a Guv, etc., which all the Rambam's Ikorim, that this Rishon gave the term in Shemayim, which assumes that there's the Mu, and Rosh Rabbeinu was unique, and the Torah is going to last. And the Bereshim interacts with man, and he has Schar Varnish, which means that he knows, and he has Schar Varnish, and there's going to be Mashiach and Tchias Amazim. So really, all 13 can be condensed down to 3 points. But the 3 points, if you really want to say the 3 points, is Kadosh Baruch Hu, interaction, man, right? It's Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah, and us. Those are the 3 parts which of the Ikrim. This describes the Kadosh Baruch Hu relation between himself and ourself. Is described in the Yud Gimel Ikrim. We understand what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is. Now, we don't really know what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is. The Nefesh HaChaim speaks by Riches in the first Shaar of Nefesh HaChaim. We don't really know a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We know what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to know about him. That, so the best thing we can say is this is what he wants us to know about him through which is revealed to us through the vehicle of Torah. So it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu vis-a-vis man. It's man vis-a-vis Kadosh Baruch Hu. He expects certain things from us. What are those things? What is the communication to us? What does he want us to do? The Torah. And then we act upon that, do mitzvahs, skarv arnish, etc. Okay, so comes from Chaim. Chaim says, okay, so let's say I hire you. You're hired for a job. Right? Imagine you had in Europe, you know, they had these people, they would get these jobs, you know, they would work for the pirates, and they would have manage very large tracts of land, or they were ran the inn, etc. So the person dies, his son takes over. He never spoke to his boss. He doesn't know exactly what's expected from him. He doesn't know what the details are. His father spoke to the boss. He was born into this thing. He has no idea what it is. That's very nice, but he can't do his job. You can't do your job until you know who the boss is, what he expects of you, and what your responsibilities are, and what's the compensation, etc. There are basic points that you need to know to be able to be in the job. Okay, then there's things which, yes, he wants you to do, and they're very important, but if you don't know them, you can't say, it wasn't my fault, I didn't know. Okay. Certainly, I didn't know that you expect me to work. excuse me, I didn't know you expected me to work. That's the job. I don't understand that every Tuesday night at 10 o'clock, I'm supposed to shut the lights off three times as a signal. I don't know. I'm a shaking. But shaking, you didn't know you're supposed to work. There's not a shaking of it. It doesn't help me that you're a shaking. So Zotrim Chaim, the Yud Gimel Ikrim, if you don't know them, you have no town in you, it's Nebuch, but you're still not because. You're not part of this relationship. Without these things in place, if you don't know these things, you're not part of the relationship. If you're a picture of Kadosh Baruch Hu, is Chas V'Shalom, a being which is limited, and he has a body, it's a Nebuch, you didn't understand, but that's not Torah. You have no Shaykh to Torah. You're out of the picture. Everything else, yes, they're important, and we believe that but you're shaking. You're shaking, so we can't punish you. That's what Chaim understands if it's in an Iker or a non-Iker. So the Barbano says, I don't know what you're talking about. There's no part of the Torah which is communicated to us as Torah, which is not necessary. So, so Rambam says that there's five ideas about Kadosh Baruch Hu which we need to know. That's all we know about Kadosh Baruch Hu. We don't know 15 things about him. Yeah, but only five are Iker. Another 10 are Tefil. You know, they're not Iker. They're not an Iker. They're not the root. They're a branch. He says, maybe all, if you don't have all 15, you don't know what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is supposed to look like vis-a-vis us. So why only these five? See, he doesn't accept the concept of an Iker. And interestingly enough, the Chasam Sofer in Tshuvas in multiple places also holds like that. There's no politics, but there's a modern twist to this, right? The Gemara never says such a concept per se. Maybe it's rooted in the Gemara. The Kol Yisrael Mechad Kol Mahabo, and these are not Mechad Kol Mahabo. So the person says, "Ein Tchisa Meisim in Atar." Says, "If you don't Mechad Kol Mahabo, so that means all the Kol Yisrael Mechad, this person not. Like, what do you do? Like, vice to the voice. That's such an intrinsic part of the relationship. I can't give you a Mahabo without that." Maybe that's the Makor. That's what the Rambam writes it. The Rambam writes it on that Mishnah. And he expands it from that, and then he expands, etc. Okay, you could argue, if it's a long Mishnah, shot in a Mishnah, you can dig in. You know, there's ways to learn like that. But it's not a Gemara anywhere. So, I was zeichet to see you know, they have speakers come to the shul sometimes, different darshan come to the shul. And Rabbi Amram Zatzal would sit there and listen to the darshan. You know, sometimes the person was clearly not as learned as Rabbi Amram, or he was not as good orator as Rabbi Amram, or whatever it was. Rabbi Amram would smile. He would nod his head. He would listen. You know, he would enjoy, etc. There's one time I saw him interrupt someone. One time. So the person is an advocate or a leader of open orthodoxy before he got that title. She was Chayav Torah, and he gets up and says that there are many Rishonim who do not accept the Rambam's concept of Iker, which means a person doesn't believe in the Ikrim, he's not an Apikaris. So he doesn't believe in the Ikrim, but as long as he keeps the mitzvahs, he's not an Apikaris. You can eat from Hishkita, etc., etc. Rabbi Amram did not take that one sitting down. There's only one time that I saw him interrupt somebody. He was clearly not happy. But that's not what the Barbanel said. That's not what the Chasam Sofer says. He doesn't say that there's no Ikrim. He says everything is an Ikrim. there's no Tfeilin. That's what he's saying. You know, it was a misrepresentation of that Chitas Rishonim. Okay, so that's the challenge which we have. Where does the idea of an Ikrim come from? So Ramosha talks about it. He said he has a suggestion where it came from. He said, where did Rambam get this idea of an Ikrim? Where did it come from? There is 13 Yisoidis that you must accept in order to be part of Klal Yisrael and to be able to be shaykh to the Katan Torah Mitzvahs. So Rama says that the Iker are 13. He explains each one, and he brings Psukim to prove each one of them where he saw that. Again, Rama picked 13. That's his own decision to pick 13. There's no Gemara where it says that there's 13. The Rambam made up 13. There's other Mishnayim who say other numbers. The Kedah says 6. The Ikrim says 3. It's interesting. The Rambam, for example, the Rambam leans out Bechir as well in the Yugim Alikrim. We spoke about that in Shabbos, right? The Kedah puts Bechir as well in the Yugim Alikrim. The relationship doesn't make any sense if you don't believe in the concept of Bechir. So he puts. Okay, so that's it. But they agreed to the concept of Ikrim. Actually, if you look at the Rav Sadia also, and when the Zodeus basically says there are Yisodis like this, and he basically, Kamat says the same as the Rambam. Where do you get this from? That we have a right to put a number, whatever number we figure out, onto these things. There's an ikr that you must do this, you must believe in this, and if you don't, you're out of the picture. Where'd it come from? So that's the pillar which you're grappling with. Okay. Manir Shatar Malamenes Alinyan Ikrim Bekach Shima Mida Sisias Mitzrayim Kiyosel HaKesher Shalayim Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shar Shatar V'Mitzvus Kakosu Yadu Kiri Hashem Alakechem Asher Tizi Yitzchem Meir Tzitzrayim L'Shaktim Zuchem Ani Hashem Alakechem Ani Hashem Alakechem Asher Tizi Yitzchem Meir Tzitzrayim L'Yosachem Alakim Kli Ben Yisrael Bodim Avalayim Asher Tizi Yitzchem Meir Tzitzrayim. So without getting involved, and there's a mitzvah of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, but there are many mitzvah, there are many places in the Torah where the Torah basically says, I am Hashem your God because I took you out of Mitzrayim. So it means if I didn't take you out of Mitzrayim, I wouldn't be Hashem your God. Like, what does that mean? The Mishnah created the world. So that's all the Mishnah's kasha. Why does Enoch Hashem Lekecha Eshel Zecher Mitzrayim Beis Avodim? I mean, if you think about the kasha is phenomenal. It's a phenomenal kasha, right? So Mitzrayim, if you look at your globe, I don't know, it's 1% of the land mass of all of the world. I don't know, probably less. And the land mass is only 1/3 of all of the globe itself, because 2/3 is water. Right? There, Mitzrayim, this whole story took place in a year. Okay, you want to say the whole story took place over 200 years, the world is 6,000 years old, and there's a planet called Earth, which Rechibichel Tukhachinsky, some of you might have heard of him, he wrote a Sefer Geshur HaChaim, he wrote a Sefer Ir HaKadosh HaMikdash, he was one of the big Gedolim in the Yerushalmi, the Maseres HaGra, etc. So he wrote a sefer in honor of the Birchas Hachama. There's a Birchas Hachama in 1953. So he wrote a sefer going through the halachas, the yesodos of the halachas of Birchas Hachama, etc., the Sugyos HaGemara. And in the Hakdama, he writes the following. So there is in California. There's a mountain called Mount Palomar. At the top of Mount Palomar, there's a place called the Hale Observatory, which has a telescope. Mount Wilson Observatory, which has the Hale Telescope. Hale Telescope, till they put Hubble into the space, was the greatest telescope which we had to see anything in the heavens. Right? It was being built in 1953, when he's putting out the Sefer. And the scientists believe that with this gigantic telescope that they were going to build, it was a 200-inch mirror. Right, they're going to unlock the secrets of the universe. So in his Akdama to the Sefer, he writes the following: He says, "Imagine a very, very large ball, gigantic ball, the size of this room, and on that ball, there's a speck of dust." And on that speck of dust, there are millions of molecules in the dust. There's a molecule. In that molecule, there's an atom. And in that atom, there's an electron. And on that electron, there's a little guy saying, I'm going to unlock the secrets of the universe. That's the idiocy of what we're talking about. That Earth compared to the universe, the mushel is not even a good mushel. Right, you're like the universe is millions of light years, gigantic. So there's one planet called Earth, one place on the Earth for 1 year. That's why I'm Hashem your God. The Russian created the whole universe. for all of time and all of space. We're going to condense it to 1 year and one place. That's why it's a, that's our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Brosh Hashemayim Ba'aretz is curled with billions of times greater. All of time and all of space. And that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu is vis-a-vis us. He's the creator of everything. No. He's took up his time. That's why it's Hashem. That's the Rishonim's Kash. The Nimaz of Rishonim's Kash. The Rishonim's Kash is a pelvic Kash. Like it's so limiting. You see, it's Mitzrayim. But it's not just by the mitzvah of Anoichi. Rishonim repeats it again and again. Says, what's the pshat? The Rishonim is putting Yetzias Mitzrayim as the source of our relationship with him. What means whatever Yetzias Mitzrayim teaches us, represents to us, is that's the relationship. The Rishonim chose that as a vehicle, but he could have chosen something greater, something different. What he's really saying is, this is how we're going to relate to each other. Which means whatever Yetzias Mitzrayim contains, that's the story. Whatever it doesn't, it's not the story. It might. That's the next level. So the foundations and the Ikrim are found in Yetzias Mitzrayim. So if we can sift through Yetzias Mitzrayim and come up with four of them, those are the four Ikrim. If we come up with 75, there's 75 Ikrim. Rama came up with 13. It means if we look at Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're going to find 13 elements which Yetzias Mitzrayim taught Klal Yisrael. You see, as I'm teaching those 13, those are going to be the 13 Ikrim. That's the Rosh's suggestion. Fascinating approach. Where it came, the Sheish Ikrim Yisrael the Torah. There is an Ikrim to the Torah. There is a Yisrael, there's a foundation to the Torah. There's a root to the Torah. And the root that the Torah gives us is Yetzias Mitzrayim. When you see Mitzrayim, Choma Shekolo Begilu Shal Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hemi Korim Shal HaTorah. So whatever we can find there in Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's going to be the Ikur and Yisoid for our relation for the Torah. The Torah is all. This is all. It's Ikrim and of what? They're the Ikrim of the Torah. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about Ikrim of the Torah. So where are they? Okay. So now he doesn't go through and show how the other things are not in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right, which I guess that theoretically we should, you know, make a list of what we like would like to be in there and that's not in there, and then we can figure out why those things are not included, you know. But he doesn't do that, so that's homework for you guys. But Kol Yigam Likrim Nisgalu Hisvarim Nisa Yisias Mitzrayim Menasi Yisrael the Torah Kakos V'Divar Rishon Nochashem Lekecha Asher Tzichum Yisrael Beis Avodim Divar Zeh Hutzivu LeKabel Samun Yachin Mekol Mashin Nisgalu Yisias Mitzrayim. So we're going to understand the mitzvah Anochi. Is you have a chiyuv to be maimon in whatever Yetzias Mitzrayim taught you. That's the mitzvah emunah. Whatever Yetzias Mitzrayim didn't teach you, that's not the mitzvah emunah. There are other mitzvahs. That's not the mitzvah emunah. So the mitzvah emunah has the lessons of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's it. It's if you think about it, it fits beautifully into the all the psukim. You know, it answers the Bar Menachem's kasha. And the Rama says one of the yisurdes of is that we know that a person is anything is not minishamayim, he's not pregaris. So yes, every point of Torah is Torah minishamayim. So there's not one point of Torah is more minishamayim than less. Right, so how do I know one is ikur and one is not an ikur? One is yisurd and one's not a yisurd? I can't just pick it out of my hat because the Barsha Madafka picked the Yetzias Mitzrayim as the foundation. So now. So how do you get the Yud Gimel Ikrim out of Yetzias Mitzrayim? In Yizan Nisparash Ayirei Ramban Al Pasuk Zev Elo Devorav. So in Parshas Yisrael, on the Pasuk of Anochi, the Ramban says like this: Zibrei Zav Mitzvah Zasei. It's a Mitzvah Zasei. So he's pointing that out because again the Rabbah Hag's Shita, it's not a Mitzvah Zasei. It's not a command. It's a statement. Zot the Ramban. No. It's a Mitzvah Zasei, like the Rambam. Yarab v'Yitzava Yisom. Shiyedu b'yaminu kiyesh Hashem v'elakim lehem Hashem elakech. There is Hashem and he's your God. But Klerm, what does that mean is Hashem? Hoiva, he exists. Kadmon, he has an eternal existence. Mi'ito ha'yakob ha'chevitz, he's the creator. But and he did it based on his own desire, not there's nothing forcing him. V'yachalus, and he has the ability to do it. V'elakim lehem, he is now your God. Which means, so he will take care of you, and you have a chiyuv to be arbed him. So all of those things, a lot of the Yesodos of the Ramban is basically listing a lot of the Yesodos that the Rambam said. So the Bereshit exists is the first, that he's Kadmon is number three. He's the creator. It goes back to number one. He has the Echerlis, which means that he's your God, which means he doesn't need an intermediary, which is number five. And there's a Chiyuv to Yoved him, which is all of the Yesodos, the concept of Termina Shemai. Schar Nanash, he doesn't mention over here. So Mersh is going to try and fill that in. But meanwhile, he says, well, Mersh, the Mersh is Army. So where do you see that? He says, in the Yetziah, okay, say something from Torah Alamitzias, Vela Chafetz. The Mersh was taking us out. That indicates, number one, he exists. And number two, he has interest. He has interest in the world, because there was opinion of some of the Redazar that Elohim was Avazar ordered, so the Bereshit created the world, and then he just let it go. So we see that that's not true. The Bereshit is interested about in Klal Yisrael, intervenes for Klal Yisrael, punishes those who. So the Bereshit is interested. He wants to do something. The Bereshit knew, and the Bereshit controlled. He dealt with it. And this indicates that the world was created. So how does it indicate the world was created? This was a foundation what the philosophers assumed, that I can't wrap my mind around the idea of Kadmus Olam. I can't wrap my mind around it, as opposed to Chiddush Olam, right? Saying that, but they're picturing a possibility that, which we know is not true. They're picturing a possibility that the Bereshit existed forever and the world existed forever. So Bereshit wasn't the creator of the world, because the world existed simultaneously with God. That's how they picture it. If that's true, so the existence of the world is a totally independent existence and separate from, so that this God that they picture, they felt couldn't intervene and change the world, because the world was just as intrinsic as him. So who said he has the power to intervene and affect the world? So if the Bereshit can intervene and affect the world, in the case that it's his world, it means the world was created by him. So then he made the world as he saw fit. He can do whatever he wants. But that's the thought process that Rabban is saying over here on that point. Materially, we see that the Bereshit has total ability to deal with whatever it is. And if the Bereshit has unlimited yichalus, it means there's no power with him. So it means he's the yachid. So Bereshit says, listen, you learned all of this. The Psukim, we point this out at a different time. There's a fascinating Targum Yerushalmi. Your Targum Yerushalmi says that he doesn't understand that Hakrabas Korban Pesach is a Korban Tzibur. Korban Tzibur, you can't be makrib in a Bamas Yachid. You have to be makrib it. Korban Pesach, even though each person brought it alone, the more it sits at Bats, Baba Kenufya comes, as all of Kaisel comes together to do it, it has to be brought in the Bama, in the Makam Mizbeach of Kaisel. So that's the Mishkan, that's the Mikdosh, that's Mishkan Shiloh, but Noiv and Givon, but if a person during the period of Noiv and Givon, where the Mishkan was in, they didn't have the Mishkan Shiloh had been destroyed, so they had the Oren and they had a Malkin, which was they brought the Korban Tomid in front of the Oren. It was called a Bamas Tzibur. During that time, Bamas Yachid was Mutter. You're allowed to have your own Bama in your backyard. The Moshe was Manazeh. So a Goy who keeps Shabbat says Bnei Noach. So this is Bamas Yachid only applies to Klal Yisrael. So if he wants, he can make an altar in his backyard and be makir a korban to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not advising him to do that. It's animal rights advocates, you know, but you have to be very careful. But he can do that, right? But a Klai still can't do that. We can't do that. So how they bring the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim? So Tanya Mishalmi, Parsha Mishalmi says the Bereshim picked up all of Klai Yisrael, moved them to Yerushalayim, and they brought the Korban Pesach on the Makom Mizbeach over there, and they ate the Pesach, and then they brought back to Mitzrayim afterwards. Now, so I always thought about it. It always hit me like, I would say, no, let's just stay here already. Like, I don't want to go back to Mizraim. Like, I'm in Yerushalayim already. Like, why am I going back to Mizraim? So the answer is that the purpose is to get us out of Israel, that's a great kash. If the purpose is to get us out of Mizraim, it's a great kash. If the purpose is to create this relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, which Mizraim accomplishes, so then it's not a kash. Which it tells me the Bereshim very easily, you know, I have to tell you, there's a certain in conservation of energy. If you want to you want to drive a nail in, you have a choice between, you know, it's a small nail, it's a small piece of wood, and you can take a size one hammer or a sledgehammer. Don't use sledgehammers to drive a nail which is this big. It doesn't make any sense. So the Bereshim needs to take out of Mitzrayim. And he could basically just pluck us off and take us out of Mitzrayim. Instead, he goes, "Damn, it's Rene and Gina. Like, what's going on? Like, you know." And you know, Imam is like, "Pull out all stops, you know, Bora, you know, and it's water and Aish and, you know, mixed together and like, you know, like, just take us out of Mitzrayim already. Like, just like, get with the program and just do it already." The answer, that wasn't the purpose. That the cloud wasn't the purpose. The purpose was to create lessons for Klal Yisrael. And the Psukim talk about V'yedu k'yinei Hashem. V'yedu k'yinei Hashem b'kerev of Oretz. That you should know before Teda came k'moni b'chol Oretz. It was to teach us these lessons. The existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bereshim is Mashkiach, there's nothing which can stop him. And that's the Psukim in throughout the Parsha talk about that. So Klaisa witnessed them. So Klaisa was learning a lesson. Klaisa was absorbing the lessons of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, of the Makis, and the process of the Yitzhak, and Mitzrayim running after them, and Kriyas Yamsuf, and going into the Midbar, were all lessons Klaisa needed to learn. To be able to say that now we know exactly what we're supposed to understand, what Russia wants us to understand about our relationship with him. That's the purpose of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, not to get us out of Mitzrayim. Okay, but Sefer Hashem Mefarad Yosef Chalkei Muna. He starts with Yitzchak Mitzrayim Eilu Dvarav. This is, he quotes the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. Kasher Yirtzeh Lakim BeEidu BeYachid. When God decides He's interested in a nation, or a group, or an individual, V'yasi Mehem Moifes B'Shinim Min Haga Shel Olam B'Tivoy, and therefore for them He comes and changes the world. So he quoted before, the man quoted before, the different mistakes that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah had done, like the Rambam does in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. The Ramban in Parshas Bo at the end talks about there was mistaken understandings that the nations had about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. When this happens, all those mistakes are erased. These wondrous actions indicate Sheesh la'olam eloka, the world has a God, Mechatcher, who gives it existence. V'yadeya mashkiach miyachol, and he knows, and he's in control, and he's able, nothing can stop him. V'kasher yia hamoifes ahu nigzat tchila mipi ha'novi, and when the Novi tells you before him what's going to happen, yisbar memenu amitaso nevua, means that, I mean, be'etzem, the concept of the nevua, we're used to saying it, yeah, it's poshut, right? There's a war. Understanding that the infinite God talks to a finite being is not a logical thing, necessarily. How does it work? The answer, well, he's infinite, he can do it. But why should he do it? It doesn't fit. I mentioned the shavuz. I don't have conversations with ants on a regular basis. I mean, that's which is healthy, right? You know, I have my things I got to do, and the ants have their things I got to do. We don't talk on a regular basis. I mean, once in a while, we have a conversation. Like, you know, Bereshit talks to man. the gap between Kadosh Baruch Hu and man is so distant that the Hashem cares about man, the Hashem talks to man. All these sentences don't make any, they're not logical, automatically logical concepts we would assume automatically without being proven to us. Why should I believe that God is interested in man? Why should I believe that God talks to man? Why should I believe that God cares about what we do? Well, I learned that these things are true. Where did I learn them? I learned them in Yisrael Mitzrayim. These are the foundations for the whole Torah. It says by the first Moiv, it says the Montana Kiryashem Kerbors. It's actually by Orev. The Horus Alashkoch, the Bershim runs, he's running everything. It's not like, you know, whatever, there's now, we live in a world of coincidence and happenstance. The Bershim created the world and let things happen. So animals roam. It's one, you know, you want to say, you know, so Kenim, you know, went only so far. You know, Kenim are not long distance runners, right? Cheetahs are, you know, tigers are, lions are, elephants, and over they stopped, but Gershon, they all stopped. Hashkocha. Bamar Laman, Tera Kilashem Oritz, Laros Alachidush. It belongs to us, to Hashem. Sorry, it belongs to Hashem. Kilashem Oritz. Means it's his. He made it. Came Shaloi Shabrom Mi'ayin. It's his world. Rav Tehda came Kimoni B'chol Oritz. Laris Al Yecheles. Shushal B'kol Ve'Maka B'Yodai. Kibachozeh Hoya Mitzriim Machishim Amistapkim. These are all things which were not clear to people. Yimkera Oisus Amoyvsim Agdolam Aedim Namonim Emunas Haberei Ubatarakul. Okay. So that's really the Ramban does the work for us. Ramosha is saying that this idea that there's a concept of an ikur and a yisoid. The Ramban is really saying that you see the time is the place where you find the ikrim and the yisoid. See, in the next piece paragraph, he just goes through them. Let's just go through it quickly. And some of them taste better than others, shall we say? Okay. So again, so the yud gimel ikrim, the first five are the of the Rambam are describing our knowledge of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That he exists, that he's one, that he doesn't have any limitations of a goof. His existence is a... Now, it's interesting, we talk about the Mashem as Rishon and Achron. If you go back to the first page, in Dalet, Shabar Yitzhala hu kadman Rishon l'chol Rishon. Right. So this is one of the Rishonim condensing the Rambam. Right? So the point is not Achron. The point is Rishon. That the Rishon existed before our existence came into being. That's where it talks about the idea that his existence was an intrinsic existence. Which was always it didn't come into being at some point in time, and we have a direct line to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're right with him directly, but nothing in between. Ikrim one of Yisrael Hashem Bavadosa Miskal Misis Mitzrayim Kedivrei Rabban Shemayel Beinisim Elo Hisbar Lachol Yishui Hisbar Hoyva Kadmon Mitohayo Kol Bachevitz Yecherlus Bulekim Loyam Shchayim Labadosa. Okay, so that's 1 through 5. All of them are there. Can he create Yudias Hashem and Maisei Ha'olam B'schar Varnish? Hashem knows, and he cares, and he rewards and punishes. And Miklai Yisrael got it very clearly. Look what happened to Mitzrayim. Look what happened to Klai Yisrael. They got that's Yud and Yud Aleph. Hiskala Bonchem Mitzrayim with Shmiras Yisrael. Okay. Ikra Nevua, like the Ramban said, Hiskala B'shlichas Moshe B'asiyas Moshe. So that's number 6. That there's a concept of war. They very clearly saw. Moshe Rabbeinu was clearly getting this directive from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, and the Bershom makes it happen exactly like that. Clearly, he's being spoken to by Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what. How do you know the Zion, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu's war was unique? And the Sparab is Zion. Moshe Rabbeinu av lechol neviim. The Yosim Moshim Elam Yuchadim Lasegosu Shal Moshe Rabbeinu. The Moshim which Moshe Rabbeinu did were in a Madrega which never done before. The Ovis did not have such a Matthias, and he's going to be marked with beer, which we're not going to do. That these the most that Moshe Rabbeinu did were bedafka done in such a way that they make clear that there's a unique element of Moshe Rabbeinu's ability to do nisim, not his personal ability, but be the vehicle to bring nisim. Moshe Rabbeinu, and that was the foundation of Torah, that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the one who's going to give Torah from the vantage point of one which has a whole different level of existence than natural existence. That Rashi knew him. Now, what Rashi seemed to tie to Pshat is that Rashi knew him, and he did oisus and oisim, etc. Doesn't say above in the pasuk. The Rashi spoke directly to Moshe. That's the dictation of Torah. The Chol Oisus based on or expressed through the Oisus that Moshe Rabbeinu did. That's the Taitch of the Pshat. Okay, so what are we left with? Right, we have nine. We have we need to get four more in. Okay. Suppose the Gomer Shah is in the Vuas Moshe, Panim Bafanim, Shabbat Nidaloha Torah, that in the Vuas. Was he answered Shavias and Moshe Magdalen? It's the same point. That Nevuah is the same point of the Sinas Torah. As Rama says, the pasuk, "Kasha stand yoni miachad shuliyakam misha yasikas sagosay below misha yasikamasav." The kaflogas ha'saga he aflogas ha'vulah b'hem. We need to know the Moshe Rabbeinu was extraordinary in what he is able to understand. He's extraordinary in what he's able to do. They go together. Ikra Torah and Shemayim, Kulam and Tzitzit Shemayim. So Torah and Shemayim is the Ches and Tes are there. Shoyim is above work of all the Torah. Because the Tzitzit Shemayim is the Shemayim Moshe. Metziach is the Om Mimitzam, Tavon is the Gimel HaRazeh. So the Pasuk says, Rosh Hashanah tells Moshe, go all the way to the beginning. Right? Zelcha Ois, Kiyana Chi Shalak Ticho. Metziach is the Om Mimitzam, Tavon is the Gimel HaRazeh. The point of Rosh's message is that tells Moshe, the purpose of all of this is to come to accept the Torah al harazeh by Har Sinai. The original parah shlachamiv yavduni. Kavana b'avodah he kabbalas the Torah. It doesn't mean stop bringing a korban. It means serving Kadosh Baruch Hu through the Torah. Okay. Mumish tov nishtan shrei Hashem is galbach koyin lo satar v'yisrael. So therefore, the Torah is not going to change either. So there's no abrogation of Torah. So that's number. 8 and 9. So you still have 2 left. So where do you see Mashiach and where do you see Tchilas HaMeisim? You see Tzitzrayim. So now these two are not as clear. If you base B's on Mashiach, call them Tzitzrayim. Where do you see that? She'omer b'tchilas ha'nevua l'armel Yisrael she'shmar yisbarach mizgal b'l'galam. Moshe says, what's the name I should tell them? What was his question? What was he trying to ask? He says, what's an afkuna's name is? He says, a name represents his galus. Right? I use a name to indicate an item, a person, etc. So instead of describing all the details about it, they say the name. Oh, that's what you're referring to. That's what the Rebbe says. The name word, the word shame comes from the word shom. Instead of saying the guy is 6'2" and he has black hair, curly hair with glasses, etc., I say, Moshe, I know what you're talking about. It's able to say, there he is. So we talk about Kadosh Baruch Hu has a name. It means that Barashem is, I'm able to say, there is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I know that about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I use that as a way to say, that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea of a shame by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he was asking, what's the name? Means, what is the way the Kleist is going to know a Kadosh Baruch Hu? What are we going to know about you? And he said, Ekiyash or Ekiyash. Rashi says, what does that mean? The same way I'm with them now, I will be with them in the future. That's the name that they have to know. Means the message of Israel is that's not a one-time occurrence, you see, as Mitzrayim. There's going to be a Gula Asida. Because if there's not going to be, so how, says the name I want you to teach to Israel is I will be them in the future as well. That's part of the name that you see Israel is going to teach you. Fascinating, the smack in his answer to why it said as opposed to he answers not the other Mishnah. He says because this is where the Brashim says believing in Mashiach. The same way I took you out of Mitzrayim, I will take you out again. That's the tzivui of Asher Tzichem Eretz Yisrael Beis Avodim according to the smack. It's mama. You said it to the Dharma, that there's going to be, it's going to happen again. And that's the pshat why the pasuk, the Navi B'davki, compares what's going to happen in the future to Yisit Tzitzrayim. It's not because it's issue of size. No, because Yisit Tzitzrayim was the foundation that there's going to be something else. Okay? We know that they saw the Gula Sira by Yamsuf, Hashem Yimlach L'Olam Bo'ed, Misnabash Sira Machuz Alishtot B'Olam Kula. So Nichlal in Yisit Tzitzrayim is there's going to, this is setting in motion a final moment of his galus of HaKadosh Baruch. That's how he understands it. Mashiach. Chizam Eitzim needs a little more work, and then we'll stop. Chizam Eitzim, his gal saw Mishir Sayam. She'll see him, you see the time. Chazal say, how do you see the time? He says, Chizam Eitzim, person says, Eit Chizam Eitzim in the Torah, doesn't have a little mahabos. It's more sataka, no. Where does Eit Chizam Eitzim in the Torah? It's not very clear. So one answer, Apostle Shir Sazino says, Ani me me sub machaya. So just like machatz, maybe means I killed this one and I let this one live. No, because machatz is talking about the same being. I give him a wound and I heal it. So maybe some machaya is referring to the same body also. So we see tchias meisim in a tar, one teretz. Now the more it says oz yashir it says. Shola Nemra El Yosher, Rashi brings it in B'Shalach. The Kan Rem is Tchias Meisim in a Tar. Okay. Now that's up. That is. If you think about it, Klai Yisrael at that moment responded with Shira. The Pasuk describes what they did as Yosher, they will sing again. So where do you see that? You see, it's right. It wasn't in the words that they said. It's in the Torah's description of what they did. So we're going to have to work backwards and say, well, if that's what they did, that Christ was able to then create a shear which will exist in the future, means we have to assume that what is happening then generates a shear in the future, generates a future as well. That these people will be singing this shear again in the future. That has to be intrinsic of what's happening now. Otherwise, why is the pasuk describing that Klal Yisrael was able to do a shira, a yashir shira, not a shor shira? So the pasuk is describing it's not a coincidence. So again, this needs a little more work than the other ones. You say, but you see that if Klal Yisrael is going to respond to Kriyas Yamsuf, and they're going to create a shira, which the Torah describes that shira, that is a shira which will take place in the future. Means this, what they saw now, generated, they will be able to see that shear in the future. That's Chiyas HaMesim. You see, this time, Atzah, he had Bechinas Chiyas HaMesim, L'Klal Yisrael, Shoyu K'Mesim, Begolus. And Be'etzim, Klaus was a Memtei Sharitum, and the Kamat didn't exist, in the Ruchni sense. And the Russian recreated us. So the body Kamat is totally destroyed, and it's recreated. It functioned along the same lines. And that's what the Torah says, that Tchias HaMesim, we have a Masar, will be in Nisan, and that's why we lay in the Shabbos Chol HaMoed, the Haftarah of Tzomas Yevashos. So that needs more. And later on he suggests more. So Kaponim, we have a mitzvah of Emunah. We have a necessity of Emunah, because that's the foundation. Without it, we don't have a real relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's why Nebuchadnezzar Bichurus is still not Bichurus. Mehecha Teisa, such a thing exists, because the Torah constantly points out that the foundation of our religion of the Kodesh Baruch Hu is Yisrael Mitzrayim. What's Yisrael Mitzrayim? They left Mitzrayim? No. The process of leaving taught us lessons along the way, and that's what we need to know.